You can't grow if you don't know where you are. In this episode, we unpack what it means to be self-aware, showing how clarity about your strengths, passions, and purpose unlocks your kingdom potential. Stop living on autopilot, learn how to achieve greater self-awareness, and start becoming the best version of you. And it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Spirit-filled minister ready to take the next step in your ministry training? The Servant Leaders Cohort will help you earn your BA, MA, or DMin. We offer in-person instruction in a small group learning environment that is affordably priced. Instruction happens in monthly two-day intensives in the Triad of North Carolina. Degrees are approved and conferred by Vision Christian Bible College and Seminary. You can earn your bachelor's in 2 years, a master's in 15 months, or a DMin in 18 to 24 months. For more information, go to fivegifts.org/SLC.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. It's great to be with you for another episode, and we hope that you're enjoying this series so far on leadership growth and development. And today we tackle another part of that journey as a leader, as you begin to grow and begin to develop into your strengths and your gifts. We're talking about self-awareness, but before we do, I want to welcome Charles. Charles, it's good to see you today. Hope things are going well on your part of the world.
Yeah, good to see you, Bruce. Everything's good here in Western North Carolina. The sun's shining, the birds are singing, and we're still breathing, so there's nothing to complain about, that's for sure. How about you? Anything noteworthy to mention this morning?
I think I mentioned last episode, my daughter was about to graduate, so this is the week, and we're getting her moved from school toward the end of the week, but also going up and celebrating her accomplishment, and I'm just excited. Charles, I know you've got two girls, I've just got one, but I just know as a dad how heavy it can be to see your daughters growing up and spreading their wings a little bit.
Absolutely. Our oldest is, she's spreading her wings. She's making preparations. She's going to Greece on a 5-week missions trip this summer. And so on one hand, we're really excited for her. On the other, we're a little nervous and just kind of like, okay, Lord, you know, you're going to have to help all of us through this deal. And then she'll finish that missions trip, and she'll be home for 2 weeks, and then is going to study abroad for her fall semester in college. And again, we're excited for the opportunity, but you know, taking steps of faith and trusting the Lord, and doing a lot of praying, a lot of intercessions going on in our household. And so yeah, man, these are we talk about the growing pains for our teens and college age kids growing, but I don't know what's harder, their growing pains or the parents growing pains, because this is kind of rough stuff over here, but it's good. So a lot of growth, a lot of transformation.
Do you think it's a safe assumption that you find out some things about yourself when you experience these times as a parent?
And I think that's a safe and accurate reality. It's not an assumption. It's truth. Man, sure. It just transition like this and growth. It has a way of exposing kind of the dark places that we hide or maybe that we don't pay a lot of attention to. It really helps us to become self-aware in who we are and how we're growing and who we're becoming. And so, you know, in fact, that's what we're talking about today, is about self-awareness. And so Bruce, as we kind of delve into this idea of being self-aware, what does it mean? What are we talking about when we discuss this idea of growing in self-awareness?
Yeah, well, I think the pivotal question when it comes to self-awareness is, how well do you know yourself? Do you know you well enough to grow you? And, you know, self-awareness is just, it's the big step, in my estimation, before really embracing, you know, your own leadership development, your own growth. Whether you're in church leadership or in the marketplace, I think becoming the best version of you, you've got to find out where you are, and because that largely you can only go to the next level from where you are. And so, you know, we look at self-awareness as the ability to see yourself clearly and objectively through reflection, introspection, and on some level, an ability to understand how others perceive you. Charles, I think being self-aware means understanding ourselves. And that means getting a grasp for our personality, our emotions, our strengths, our weaknesses, our sin tendencies. You know, we've done episodes on overcoming our dark side, you know, by first recognizing that we all have certain tendencies. We all have certain ways of relating to the world when it comes to struggle, conflict, obstacles, growth. And so being aware of even those things, not just your strengths, but also some of your weaknesses, your vulnerabilities. I think to grow and improve, we have to know ourselves pretty deeply. And so that means understanding our identity, taking inventory of our strengths, our weaknesses, and our motivations even. I think that's crucial. You know, self-awareness is challenging, but it's essential. And I think we have to be honest with ourselves regardless of our flaws and take action to address those kinds of things. But, you know, I really as a believer and as a Christian leader, I can't counsel enough that, you know, there is a God factor in our lives. And in fact, God has a plan for us to live with a Christ-centered identity. That's God's eternal plan, for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, like Paul tells us in Romans 8:29. So with God's desire for us to become more like Jesus, I think we recognize there are some streams of God's work in our lives. I think, for one, God's nature is being formed in our lives, Christ's character. We might think of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, some of the assessments we use to discover some things about ourselves, things like Strengths Finder, or character assessments. You know, those are all important. And I think we need to recognize that there's a factor in our lives where God is growing some things in us, his character, the nature of Christ. And so that's obviously one. Another would be, you know, God's power, where we look at the ministries of Christ, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the name of our podcast is The Five Gifts, because we believe that God is initiating leadership in his church through the five gifts of the apostle, the prophet, a pastor, teacher, and evangelist. But, you know, in our lives, God is working mightily through us and through different ways, through diversities of gifts. And so we want to recognize, what are those gifts? What are those things that God has equipped us to do and gifted us to do? And then also, I'd say a third stream would be just the ever-present spiritual life of Christ. That's his present activity. And, you know, at every moment of life, Jesus is not only present, but I think he's active. And sometimes you're going to look back and think on certain experiences, how Christ gave that context, how he gave you wisdom and direction. And even now in your life, there's going to be a way that Christ works through your life. And I think if you understand that a part of knowing you is knowing that God is with you, God is in you, God is working through you in the person of the Holy Spirit, I think that really sets you up to get a better grasp on on yourself. Again, that the idea of gaining self-awareness. Let's first define awareness, and more specifically, self-awareness. I think it is the first. It's a fully conscious recognition and understanding of where we've been and why. We think of our past experiences. We think of achievements in life, some of the challenges of life. So we want to take a look at where we've been, but also where we are. So in one sense, we look at the past. We also want to look at the present and really think about, where am I in life? Where am I in my career? Where am I in my leadership? What's true about me right now? And why? And so, that's not just an understanding of our education, but really, what's my personality now? What are my gifts now? What is my acumen? What have I grown excellent at doing? What do people look at me as an expert in? And then thirdly, I think self-awareness has a future component, and I can't dictate the future, but I can get a sense of where I want to go and why I want to go there. So self-awareness means I need to look at my ambitions. I need to think and consider, what are some of the goals in my life? And a lot of those goals, they might be unspoken goals. So doing some internal reflection and thinking of where do I want to go? What I want to achieve? What I want to pursue in life? A question to ask yourself is, do you have a sense of direction? You really do have to know who you are. And again, as I said in the beginning, to grow yourself, you need to know yourself. So again, you consider your strengths. How has Christ equipped you? How has he gifted you? You want to think of your weaknesses. In other words, what are some vulnerabilities? What are some sins that you gravitate toward, especially during times of conflict and temptation? Or what are some insecurities that you face? What are some triggers that really mess you up? You want to think about your weaknesses. You want to think about your interests, your passion. We'll talk a lot about passion here in a little bit, but what is it that wakes you up in the morning? What are the things in life that really energize you? And then also you want to have a sense of, when it comes to direction in life, what are your opportunities? What are the realistic opportunities that you have in your life? And sometimes, we don't always recognize those opportunities, and it might be helpful to have a coach or a mentor to help you work through those things. So I think knowing those four critical areas of life help us understand where we are. Really, to reach your full potential, you've got to know that. You've got to have a grasp on that. Not only where you are, but again, where you project yourself, where you want to be. And again, Charles, growing in self-awareness, it's not going to come in one assessment. It's not going to come in one moment of introspection. It's not an event. It really is a process. And I think it's a process of years. But what it can do is it can lead to change. It can help us take action. I think, we have a natural tendency to be passive. So as we shared in our last episode, intentionality in your growth is vital. And I think being intentional about gaining self-awareness is vital. It needs to be something that we tackle with a sense of intentionality. The truth is we can become very comfortable where we are. And, the idea of disruption because of change, that's off-putting to a lot of us. But it's also a mentality that can prevent us from reaching our full potential and purpose. So as leaders, gaining self-awareness is not optional in your growth. And it's a challenge that we have to undertake with a sense of, intentionality. And I would add, think of self-awareness being kind of a new venture in discovery, discovering what your gifts are. If you'll begin to understand those things about you, then it really can open up the opportunities that you have before you in your leadership development. Charles, talk to us about some of the benefits of practicing self-awareness.
Well, as you can imagine, there are a ton of benefits to practicing self-awareness. and just, you know, these benefits alone, it's reason enough to work on improving self-awareness. But we're going to go through a list, but by no means is this list exhaustive. But I would begin with a benefit, and again, we'll talk about several, but just as a point of beginning, practicing or improving our self-awareness can make us more proactive, boost our acceptance, and encourage positive self-development. So again, those are good words, being proactive, positive self-development, a benefit of self-awareness, improving in our self-awareness. Self-awareness allows us to see things from the perspective of others. Isn't that amazing that other people in this world actually have a viewpoint? That my vantage and viewpoint is not the only point of reference in this world. So self-awareness is powerful. It's a powerful dynamic in our growth and in our leadership, in our relating with others, seeing things from the perspective of others, practicing self-control, working creatively and productively, experiencing pride in ourselves and our work as well. Just in general, self-esteem. Self-awareness is a powerful dynamic and something that we want to improve in. Self-awareness leads to better decision-making. That's, again, who doesn't want to make better decisions? I think we all want to make better decisions. Self-awareness gives us that ability. You know, if we can come to the place where we truly know ourselves and understand who we are, and then we have the capacity to stop and slow down and listen to other people's viewpoints, it leads us to a place to make better decisions. Self-awareness can make us better at our jobs. It makes us better communicators in the workplace and enhances our self-confidence and our job-related well-being. So, today we're running a special in the Five Gifts podcast. We're selling a big old can of self-awareness. And so, $9.99, send it in. Our operators are standing by. Whatever it takes for you to develop self-awareness, there's benefit in it. I was thinking about this. That's one of the lessons, and I don't know that I've intentionally done it, but one of the lessons I've tried to teach my daughters is to be self-aware. That seems to be, I think we work in themes and patterns, and so that seems to be one of the patterns, one of the themes of that as a father I've tried to help my kids is to be self-aware, is to really, even at an early age, is to understand yourself, to be aware of who you are and of your place in this world and how you're relating with other people and how you're interacting with other people. It improves us. I think if we can improve our self-awareness, it just puts us so much farther down the road, if you will, in improvement and in becoming the best version of who God has created us to be. Let's try a little exercise, if you will, and it helps us evaluate our own self-awareness and how it might be affecting our growth. So how would you, Bruce, you talked to us about having a direction. How would you classify your sense of direction? So here's how we can begin to classify that. If you really don't know where you want to go, the result is confusion. If you know where you want to go, but you don't take any steps to move in that direction, the result is frustration. If you know where you want to go and everything in your life seems to be moving in that direction, then the result is fulfillment. So I just want you to take a moment. Where are you on that pathway? If you're experiencing a lot of confusion, you may not truly know where you want to go. You may need to spend some time refining that. If you have a general or a vague idea, you may want to spend some time refining that so that you know the final destination. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to go. Or if you're trying to travel the road, you've got a clear picture of where you want to end up, but you're just not taking steps to move in that direction. And I promise you, friend, you are experiencing frustration. And just my personality, the way I'm wired, I like results. And I like to accomplish. And I like to achieve. And I can look back over my life. And the seasons of greatest frustration for me have been, I know exactly where I want to go or where I feel like I need to be going. But I'm just... whether I'm intentionally not taking steps or there are other factors or distractions that keep me from taking steps, frustration has crept in. And I'm telling you, when I'm not achieving or when I'm not moving forward, those are the places life can get sideways very, very fast for me in those seasons. And so I have to be careful that, all right, I've got to put a plan together and I've got to begin to taking those steps toward that direction. Others of you, you may know exactly where you want to go, and you may be in the process of taking steps toward that final goal or final direction in that direction. And you're probably experiencing a sense of fulfillment, of accomplishment, there's probably a lot of energy in your life of just, you probably feel like the wind is filling the sails of your life. What a great place to be. What a great posture to be living in. So let's keep on talking about self-awareness. Here's some questions we can ask ourselves in answer, no matter what our state, before we start kind of the rebuilding process. Here's question number one. Are you satisfied with where you are now, and do you like the way you're doing things now? So are you satisfied with where you are now, and do you like the way you're doing things now? Look, if the answer is no, and realistically for all of us, the right answer should be some variation of no, because none of us are perfect. None of us have completed the building project. So if the answer is no, to either or any of those two questions, we have to ask ourselves, what's standing in the way of me or of us, maybe as an organization, taking action to doing something about it? What's standing, if you don't like where you are and if you do not like the way you're doing the things you're currently doing, what's keeping you from taking action to change that? Could it be a fear of discomfort? We don't like to be uncomfortable. A lot of us build our lives in a manner that comfort is the ultimate goal and destination. And so when something comes along to disrupt our comfort, oftentimes we just settle instead of being uncomfortable. So could it be a fear of discomfort? Could it be a fear of change? Bruce, you and I were talking about this just the other day about just certain segments of the population, certain personality styles who seem to have a higher proclivity to this fear or resistance to change. Could it be, and listen, change is a very uncomfortable change. The idea of change can bring fear in our lives. Is it a fear of change that's kind of paralyzing you? Is it a fear of loss, a fear of the unknown, a fear of risk, maybe even a fear of failure? What's standing in the way of us taking action to do something about that? So, Bruce, we've talked a little bit about the benefits of self-awareness and becoming more self-aware. Maybe you could kind of dial it in even further a little bit for us and talk to us about how to find our passion and our purpose.
Sure. But before I do, I want to go back. Charles, I thought those, the way you help, you know, you think about your sense of direction, and when there's confusion and frustration about those, you know, those take some thought. It takes time to work through those. And I thought, you know, everybody wants to have a sense of fulfillment. In fact, you know, I'm thinking of something going on in my life right now. There's quite a bit of sense of fulfillment. I know I'm heading in the right direction. I've got, you know, I'm getting the right people around a particular project, and there's interest in it. You know, it has some momentum. And, but, you know, I'm always having to come back and adjust and think about, okay, I still got some things that need some work. And so, you know, that's a constant process. There's a constant adjustment. It's like, people are like, well, we're in an adjustment phase. Well, you know what? I found that life is always an adjustment phase. So be honest, you know, always be willing to evaluate those things. But you know, as we do move into thinking about passion, I think that really dovetails nice, Charles, where you ended. You know, if we're doing some introspection and we're being honest, then what if what we're doing right now is simply in the wrong direction? You know, changing what you're doing is a risk. But what if you don't change? I think, you know, think about being fulfilled. I think there's a lot of factors that come into that. And one of those is that you feel like you're doing what you're created to do in life. And getting a sense of passion, you know, to really find that. If you're finding yourself frustrated, if you find that what's happening in your life just isn't going where you want it to go, you know, there's a risk to changing that, but there's also a risk if you don't change. So what's the risk you'd rather live with? You're doing something that brings you no satisfaction, no fulfillment, or you know, embarking on a big transition, a big adjustment, a big change. The question is what would you like to do the most? You know, there is a definite connection between finding your passion and reaching your potential. Passion gives you an advantage over those who don't have it. Passion gives you energy. And when you really think about what you're put on this earth to do, and you're moving in that direction, well, then fulfillment comes. And it gives you an advantage because it's just something you're passionate about. I got to tell you, you know, this cohort idea that we've had, it's not new. It's just that it's not something that a lot of people do. And so I found that the passion that I've brought around that, and sometimes honestly, I've looked back and thought, you know, there's, why do I seem to be consumed with getting this together, you know, getting this educational cohort together. And Charles, it was energizing. There was genuine passion about it. I mean, I look on, you know, one hand, the things in my life that I've been passionate about in my calling, and this is certainly one of them. And there's an advantage to that. It's attractive. It brings, you know, people around it. And so, again, I think. Part of me reaching my potential is been I've had to invest some direction and focus on this particular passion. You know, finding your passion requires listening to your heart, and you know your feelings matter. I mean, I know we like to live in a world that's clean and uncluttered by feelings, but the truth is that you know what you do it deserves living from your heart and really moving with a sense of passion and investment. So when you think about your passion, then let's think about your future. Where do you want to be in your future? Passion-wise, it's where the heart and the soul and the mind are fully and primarily invested. And so if you can bring that into a sense of direction, then you begin to reach your potential. That's why we say passion and potential related. If you lack passion, you're never going to grow toward your full potential. You're just going to move listlessly at best, I think, going through the motions. So you really want to have a sense of passion. You want to invest in that and really begin to allow that to break out in your life. It's important to make sure that our passions are for worthy and substantive things, not transitory, not empty things. You know, we can be passionate about a lot of things, and if we're not careful, some of those things can be the wrong things. So we want to avoid pitfalls. But be considering, you know, where do you want to be in the future? Number two, do you have the abilities and skills to function well and contribute meaningfully to where you want to be in the future? Again, the honest answer is, as Charles alluded to earlier, the honest answer is some variation of no. You know, understanding that in some ways, in some areas, we may have more raw abilities and skills than others, but this is still only potential. To experience fulfillment, we've got to take action. We've got to invest in some thinking about action plans and what's required of me. You know, one thing I always like to think of anytime there's a new transition in front of me is what am I willing to leave behind? And what new things am I ready to embrace? So again, that's a question. Do I have the abilities and skills to function well and contribute to where I want to be in the future? And then lastly, the question I'd want to ask is, why do you want to be where you want to be in the future? What's so important about it? Because I think that deals with motives. I think if our motives are right, then we'll be fully invested and we won't be deterred or quit growing and moving toward that goal when the high highs and the low lows that are part of that process of anything, you know, worth having, they're going to occur. And so if those bring kind of a stoppage in our movement, then probably, you know, our motivation wasn't sufficient. If our motives are wrong, then we'll not be invested in it at all. And then we'll easily, you know, kind of fall back from that. We'll get stopped in our tracks. And you know, honestly, if your motivation is wrong, then you're probably going to quit. So give motivation some consideration. Are you motivated for it? Are you ready to do what's necessary to get there? Charles, it's one thing to have passion and motivation, but let's talk to us a little bit about how we begin to align our direction with passion.
Well, I think a great place to begin is to ask yourself this question. Can you do what you would like to do? Look, dreams are necessary for success. I think we all can agree on that, but not every dream is possible due simply just to natural limits. You know, I may want to be an NBA All-Star. Dream in life is to be an All-Star in the NBA. But reality is, you know, the NBA is not hiring a lot of 6'1", overweight, out of shape, middle-aged men. And so just due to natural limits, I don't think I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. I've got to begin to take some responsibility, take some inventory here. Do I know the difference between what I want and what I'm good at? You know, there's a difference there. What do you want and what are you good at? And then begin to discover what are the differences there. Do you know what drives you? And do you know what gives you satisfaction? Do you know what your values and your priorities are? What a great place to begin. And what are your organization's values and their priorities? Is there any alignment? Is there synergy between your personal values and priorities and organizational values and priorities? What happens when your values and priorities differ with the organization of which you are a part. Does that hinder you? Does that keep you from being able to do what you would like to do? And then, so maybe a follow-up question to that is, are you willing to change your values and your priorities? Now, look, before you submit your resignation later and blame it on the Five Gifts podcast, we're not advocating that you abandon your post at whatever organization. We're just simply asking you, as a process of beginning to align motivation, are you able to do what you would like to do? Just some questions to begin to help in that process of discovery. And then finally, you know, what are your unique talents and gifts? What's unique to you? What are the talents and gifts that are unique to you? You know, Bruce and I, we share a common mindset and a common passion for leadership, church formation, all the things that we're building this, trying to build this podcast around and trying to help others with. But in our similarities, in our shared passions and shared motivations that we have, we also have some unique talents and gifts as we're working together in this. What are your unique talents and gifts? So it's a good place to begin to explore. A second tenet of this of aligning motivation, I think, is the word motives. Do you know why you want to do what you would like to do? So the buzz phrase, I guess, is what's your why? And, you know, at the risk of being cliche, what's your why? As you continue to discover and reflect, excuse me, on self-awareness and aligning motivation, do you know why you want to do what you would like to do? Even good things done with the wrong motive can become a disaster. So you want to have a pretty crystal clear picture, as well defined and refined understanding of what your why is, so that you have the right motives to fuel your dreams and fuel what it is you're wanting to do. Here's a great next steps question to ask. Do you know what to do so you can do what you want to do? Do you know what to do so that you can do what you want to do? It's great to say, yes, hey, this is what I want to do. But do you know how to do that? What is it that you're responsible for to get where you want to be in the future? I knew early on that I wanted to help pastors. I wanted to help leaders. I've always had a strategic bent in my mindset. I've always enjoyed strategy. I've always enjoyed process and how things kind of fit together. Even in some, we'll talk about some assessments in a bit. And I think one of those that we'll bring up is the Myers-Briggs assessment. And so in that assessment, it was revealed that I was an architect. I kind of had that personality as you go through there. I like to build the systems and know how they fit together. And I like to design those things. And so I knew that I wanted, at some point in life, I wanted to help people. I wanted to help leaders, help church leaders. In designing systems and designing plans and helping them to grow, helping their churches to grow into health and reach those next levels. But I quickly realized I have to advance in what I know, in my education, in the knowledge that I've acquired in order to help others. I'm going to have to learn more. And so I began an education and went to seminary and began to read and began to study and learn about leadership and learn about organizational development and all these things. And so it's all back to say, do you know what to do so you can do what you want to do? Yes, have a big dream, have great dreams, but you've got to be able to substantiate that, and you've got to be able to support that with, do you know what to do so that you will at some point be able to do what you want to do? Awareness is becoming very conscious of every choice you make. Action is the major difference between those who do it and those who don't do it, is that those who do it, do it. All right, now, in the Pentecostal world, we believe in tongues and interpretations. So let me interpret that for you, all right? The major difference, I'm going to read it again, the major difference between those who do it and those who don't do it is that those who do it, do it. There has to be action. Awareness brings us to a place of being conscious of every choice we make, but action brings us to a place that steps. So there, the world is people who have a dream, but the world is far less populated with people who actually take steps to do it. And the accountability, this can be a shared accountability with a friend or a coach, or personal accountability. The next point to consider would be mentoring or coaching. Again, we're aligning motivations here. Do you know people who do what you'd like to do? And, you know, do you have a mentor or a coach? Everybody needs a mentor or a coach. That's just something I believe. Every one of us need those relationships in our lives, that people are mentoring us. They're helping to coach us so that we're advancing forward. So there are some BE principles I just want to mention here quickly. Number one, be committed. Again, as we're talking about mentoring or coaching, be committed. If you have to, pay people for their time and their advice. How valuable is it to you? Are you willing to pay for that? There's a principle that touches a lot of areas in life, and I think it touches this one as well. Oftentimes you get what you pay for. And so, if you have to pay, then pay people for their time and for their advice. It's not just a transaction. It's an investment in your life, in your awareness, in your leadership, in your dreams. So be committed to mentoring and coaching. Be consistent. Set a schedule. Meet regularly with someone who can help you. Be creative. Learn from people even if you can't meet them. Listen, one of the great mentors in my life, he's passed now, but I never spoke a word to him. I never met him face to face. But Dr. Jack Hayford, I've tried to read as many books and learn from his teachings. He just has had a great impact and influence in my life. I knew that I probably was never going to meet him. So I had to be creative. And so I began to read books, articles, listen to interviews, teachings, and I began to learn from him in that regard. Be purposeful. Prepare for every interaction. Don't wing it. Listen, if you've paid the money, if you've set the schedule, if you've secured the meeting, when you walk into that meeting, be ready. Go in there with purpose. Don't just walk in and say, "Well, I'll draw from motivation and inspiration." As we meet, have a list of questions. Have an area or two that you really want instruction in, guidance and growth, that you want to grow and advance in. Be intentional. Be purposeful in every interaction. Be reflective. Be reflective. I think this is one that gets dismissed. and at great cost. Be reflective. Reflect on each encounter and discover what you're learning. So if when you meet with a trusted mentor or coach, don't just have the meeting and then walk away and never give it any more thought. Take some time to spend reflecting on that encounter, on that meeting, so that you can begin to really galvanize the learning that took place. What are the takeaways? What are those universal principles that's going to help you to grow and advance? And finally, be grateful. Be grateful. Always show appreciation for what you're learning from others. Be grateful. That's just a discipline we can build. All of us can build into our lives. Always show appreciation for what we're learning from others. And then we've mentioned, both of us have mentioned today about assessments. And so, Bruce, feel free to jump in. We can both talk about assessments here. But there are some trusted tools, some trusted assessments that can help us reflect and take a personal look at ourselves. In the areas of personality, your strengths, gifts, just a multiplicity of ways. One that I've talked about that I kind of referenced was the Myers-Briggs, and that was a moment of revelation for me. Really going through those findings through that assessment. Another that has been powerful for me is DISC. And that has been something that we've used in our family for some family dynamics and some learning and how to parent our kids and how to guide them that we've used in our marriage, that we've used just personally. So DISC has been a powerful assessment for us. What about you, Bruce? Any thoughts on assessments?
You know, we said earlier that one of the things that becoming self-aware is learning how others see you. And that's something I think the DISC and the MBTI, and we're not championing these. They're not flawless. Every assessment is objective. It's not subjective, or rather it's not objective. It's not in a vacuum. It's always going to be with your own personal definitions, your own personal experiences. But one of the values in them is that they do have a process for helping you see yourself, and helping you see how other people see you. I think that's one of the things that we don't always take into account. We understand our strengths and our gifts, I think, but a lot of times we don't understand how we come across to people. And so the DISC and the MBTI are great. Another one is, I don't think we have it listed in our notes, but it's a 360 feedback. It's fantastic for getting the view of how other people see you. And when that can be done, I would recommend that if you engage in 360 feedback, that you always work with someone that's trusted, that knows how to administer that. Charles, you're certified in the DISC assessment. Charles would be my go-to. I know I went to Charles for my own DISC assessment. That was a fantastic one. But, you know, outside of those, which have their, I think they have their basis in established psychology and personality theory. So those are good, but there's some others that can help you in terms of learning your strengths, learning your spiritual gifts. And we mentioned one earlier, which is Strengths Finder, put out by Gallup. And there's others that do a similar job, like the VIA Strengths or Character Assessment. That's a good one. I've used that one before. They just help you look at some of the, for lack of a better word, your strengths or some personal character development, and that begins to look at your values. Those are all really good. And you know, with the five gifts podcast, we have We have spiritual gift assessments, leadership assessments that are available that help you lock in on some more specific areas of your gifts, your abilities. And so, but Charles, you know, one thing that I would say, an assessment that we've talked about, but we didn't really call it an assessment, and that's working with a mentor or coach. I think that experience can be a pretty valuable assessment. You're going to get feedback. You're going to get someone to come alongside you to help you think. They can help you uncover some insights. And while that's not a written assessment, that's like a kind of having your own personal assessor. Not that they're making a judgment on you, but they're helping you, you know, filter through your passion. A coach is a fantastic resource to help you get to some passion and really uncover that. So, Charles, that'd be my contribution there. Any takeaways before we call it an episode today?
Well, just again, just to reinforce the idea of assessment, find an assessment. Some of these, we've mentioned some really good ones, but just kind of make yourself available to assessment and let it begin to lift some strengths and weaknesses in different areas of life. That's a good investment. And then again, just to tag along what you said about a coach or a mentor, Bruce, find a coach, find a mentor, and let them bring some assessment in your life. And again, not as a judge or a critic, but to be a strength that moves you and that highlights some area of growth and transformation in your life. Now, if you know that interests you and you just want to fast track it, call me or Bruce. We'll be your personalized assessor, and we will highlight your weaknesses for you. No questions asked, no money charged. We'll be glad to just sit there and show you exactly what you're doing wrong. And listen, we're praying for you, and we're believing God for his greatest blessing to be released in your life, and that you will grow in self-awareness and grow in the things that we've talked about. This is a learning process. We are all continuing, and so let's grow together, become more self-aware, and just be a part of what God is doing to advance his kingdom through us as his servants.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us today on the Five Gifts Podcast. Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, and share our content. We love interacting with you, so we're always welcome to and excited about your comments and your questions. So please feel free to drop us a line and ask your questions, make your comments. You can do that also in the comment section below on YouTube, and we'll be happy to interact with you. We're also pleased to announce, as we've been sharing our educational cohort, that's moving right along, and we're headed toward a September launch date for those that are interested in obtaining a bachelor's, master's, and even a doctoral degree. The format includes in-person instruction and coaching, as well as mentoring, and there'll be a small group atmosphere for you to interact with students. You're going to have actual classmates to work with. And again, you can complete your master's degree at about 15 months, or your bachelor's or DMin in about 2 years. If you have any desire to know more, please go to our website at fivegifts.org/SLC. Remember, you can also reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. Charles has some fantastic resources. In fact, let me go ahead and tell you, if you're at all interested in the DISC profile, contact Charles. He can help you really get an idea of your personality and not only how you can function best as a leader, especially in the area of communication, but also get a sense of how others receive you, how they look at you. So make sure that you check him out. Charles has coaching tracks, mentoring tracks, and he can help you whether you're in the ministry or the marketplace. So make sure that you reach out to Charles. You can also reach me at coachingcardia.com, and I too have a coaching approach to help you grow as a leader. Just anticipate working with you in any way that you might need help. And you'll find that I think that my coaching abilities, it might fit you quite well. Also, you can always reach out to us at our email address at 5giftspodcast@icloud.com. We want to make sure that you're in touch with us as much as you need to be. And until next week, we'll see you right here on the 5 Gifts Podcast. You've been listening to the 5 Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.